The Murray State campus is bustling, classes back in session.
Isn't that great? You know, I always have to say that, among my favorite times of the year is the beginning of classes and then also commencement. Love to see them come, love to see them go, I guess it might be the way to look at that.
So what are some of your expectations for this academic year and thoughts on the freshman class?
Well, I think that as we start a new academic year, it's full of optimism and seeing a lot of the hard work pay off from the previous months of planning. Welcoming the faculty back. As I look at the upcoming academic year, I see us continue to move forward in our vision and mission of rigor, relevance, and excellence in our academic programs, making sure that we continue to emphasize that we are a high-caliber, high-quality academic institution, that when our students come to Murray State University, they are going to be challenged like they've never been before academically, and they're going to be better for the outcome of that, better in critical thought, better in research, better in logic, better in creative activities, a better understanding of the global society and how they fit into it, and empower them to not only compete at the global world, but also to collaborate within the global world. And so a lot of these different programs and ideas, and to see the innovation from our faculty and on how to achieve that is absolutely outstanding. Our freshman class this year is academically one of the highest academic standards that we've had in a very, very long period of time. Our ACT is above 24 for the first time in literally this century. 50% of our freshman class comes from the top 25% of their graduating class. 45% of our freshman class has a GPA of 3.75% or higher. 85% have a 3.0 or higher. The number of students needing remedial courses has declined significantly. Our Honors College continues to blossom, 200 new students, 499 total. You know, a mere 2 years ago, we had 121 new students and 372 students total. So again, as we put strategies in place 3 years ago, we talked about this as a campus. Do we want to focus in on as many freshmen and as many students as we can? Or do we want to focus in on making sure we have the right students? And when I say right students, those are academically prepared to handle the rigors of our programs, that when they come to Murray State, the probability of success is ingrained in them already. And those strategies are paying off. This year's freshman to sophomore retention rates is slightly above 75%. Again, first time we've had that in a very long period of time. This year's class right now stands around 1440, 1444 in that neck of the woods, a little bit lower than the 1502 we had last year. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. Some of those are within our control, and we are being very aggressive in our recruiting of freshmen and doing some things very differently, utilizing technology, social media, and a lot of other influencers. We were on track to have a good freshman class of 1550 all the way up through the end of June. The impact of the J.H. Richmond incident is there. How much of it was, I mean, we can't quantify that, but that is something that obviously played an impact of us going from a projected 1550 or thereabout freshman class to one that's a little bit less. As you know, we now admit based on tiers, tier 1, 2, 3, and 4. Very creative. Tier 1 being students that are at the higher end, tier 4 are students who are more akin to retention, remedial work and whatnot. Our tier 1 class this year is 802 students, and we had a 36% yield. That means that we are competing with the highest caliber for the highest caliber students against other high caliber universities, and we're having a yield success factor that is above the national the norm on that. Our tier 4 students, our tier 3 students, that's where we have actually less yield, and I think a part of that is because of the rigors that they know that they're going to be coming into. So as we look at, you know, the number of students that join us, we got a lot from tier 1. We would like more from tier 2. I think that we have some challenges there in which we need to alter some of our scholarship offerings to reflect talents that are not necessarily captured in test scores and GPA, and we'll be working on that for the next year's freshman class.
Does a smaller, higher achieving class with better retention rates, better graduation rates, help offset enrollment pressures as we look towards performance funding?
It does. You can bring in a much larger class and have a much lower retention, and then at that sophomore year, you're at the same level if you had a smaller class, but a higher class that's retained. And then your junior year, because again, of the higher caliber class, you're going to have more of those students advance to the junior year. You're always going to continue to lose the students if you just focus in on a larger, less qualified class. It's also a lot more expensive to recruit a student than it is to retain a student. So economically, there's a lot of benefits of that line as well. We set a goal of 1,600. We obviously did not achieve that goal. We were on track to come pretty darn close to it, between 1,550 and 1,630, given some variations in yield rates. But we were right there, and at the end of the day, we didn't make it, but we've identified some clear reasons of how we can change some things to get those numbers back up. And then there are obviously some things were outside of our immediate control in with regards to the JH Richmond. We're not going to hold that as an excuse. We need to get to a point where we're having 1,550 to 1,600 students. We don't need to be the largest university in the Commonwealth. We don't need to have the largest freshman class in the Commonwealth. We need to have the right freshman class for Murray State and the rigors that we pursue.
The pension issue is on the top of many minds this week as a new consulting report came back with recommendations for numerous drastic measures to fix some of the issues. Western Kentucky University's president, Dr. Timothy Caboni, spoke recently on implications for universities and a possible exit from the state retirement system. Is Murray State involved in this discussion?
It is a significant problem, and that's something that we have not shied away from. In fiscal year 2010, so the 2009-2010 academic year, our contribution was roughly around 11%. It is now at 49.47%. In real dollars, in fiscal year 10, we paid approximately $4.3 million towards the pensions. This past year, it was nearly $14 million towards the pension. Each time the pension cost goes up, other state agencies receive state funding to cover those pension increases. We do not. These are additions to our cost structure. So that is a significant cost burden to the university. This biennium was $1.3 million on addition. So, you know, as we dealt with the budget contractions of last year, $1.3 million of this was due to pension increases. Those are funds that are obviously very important to those in the system. We ended this last year with revenues exceeding expenses by roughly $10 million. Before pension liabilities had to be applied, we were sent the pension liability, and that is from the KERS, KTRS audits in Frankfurt. We do not control those numbers. It is solely up to the performance of the pension system, and is based on what they calculate as our percent share of the increased liability. That was $20 million. So we went from a positive 10 to a negative 10. And I need to stress, this is an accounting mechanism. This is not a cash flow. We did not write a check for $20 million. It does not impact our liquidity or anything along those lines, but it does impact our net assets. If it was the opposite, if the pensions were performing better and everything else, and it could be a positive impact to our net assets. But for the last many years, it has been a significant negative. So Mr. Caboni is absolutely right. It is a huge impact on all the universities. We have, as university presidents, have been asked by legislators and others to present several ideas. And one of the ideas that the presidents discussed was for all new employees, faculty and staff, that they would be put onto a defined contribution plan versus a defined benefit plan. To me, it is a possible solution that needs to be discussed among many other ones. When we as university presidents talked about, again, is a way to start help mitigate some of the exposure that we have with these increasing costs and also provide us the ability to continue to attract and retain quality faculty and staff members. And a defined contribution policy or defined contribution plan could be a way to do that. Where this goes in special session and everything else, stay tuned and hold on to your hats.